Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We go behind the headlines, and a big one this week concerned the state of Missouri's bid to become home to Amazon's second national headquarters. St. Louis and Kansas City have also made separate bids. Dozens of communities are competing for what's called HQ2, a multi-billion dollar project that would deliver 50,000 jobs to the new headquarters site. Missouri is proposing a futuristic approach and making both Kansas City and St. Louis part of the plan. Joining me by phone is Drew Erdman, the Chief Operating Officer for the state of Missouri. Drew, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Don.
Let me ask you, if you would, to give us kind of the broad stroke gist of the Missouri proposal.
Thanks very much. Well, first, to start with, incredibly enthusiastic about both St. Louis's proposal and Kansas City's. We're unique in the country in that we have two major metropolitan areas independently competing. And as you can imagine, the state of Missouri is enthusiastic about bringing such high-quality, high-paying jobs to the state. And we have supported throughout the entire process from the very beginning both cities, and I should stress we did it impartially. We love both of our children. We love both of them equally, and we were fully supportive in coordinating with both of those teams from the very beginning. And at the same time, the origins of the state's proposal, which to the best of our knowledge right now is unique in the country, is that we felt that there is an opportunity to basically challenge Amazon to be bolder than even Amazon's original proposal. What we mean by that is to say to them, don't just think in terms of making your home in one major metropolitan area and transforming one metropolitan area. Imagine the potential of combining two major metropolitan areas, St. Louis and Kansas City, with our college town and research hub in the center, Columbia, and form an innovation corridor across an entire region. And that's the kind of big, bold thinking that we think will appeal to Amazon. And we also think it's something within the time frames that make sense. What I mean by that is Amazon's proposal that they asked for is not just for 1 year or 2 years. It's for 1 to 2 decades or more. So when you take the perspective not of, you know, 12 months, 24 months, but look out 15, 20 years, a proposal that involves development across a region and linking together an innovation corridor really becomes something that is vibrant, viable, and we think something that will be very attractive and challenging to Amazon.
What would you envision as the role of each of these cities to be?
Well, what we've said to Amazon in our proposal is, in essence, we have two cities. We support them equally. We think that they could both be great homes for Amazon in their own right, number one. Number two, if Amazon is attracted to the broader perspective of developing this innovation corridor, and we think there are compelling reasons that may lead them to that conclusion, what we say impartially is start in one of the cities. We can't choose between the two cities. Leave that to Amazon of St. Louis or Kansas City. Begin building when you need to. Begin going into office space when you need to in 2019. That's the original plan. But instead of thinking of just developing within one metropolitan area, imagine then over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, which is their time frame to get towards the scale they're talking about, develop across the state this innovation corridor with us as communication and transportation technologies enable and make that a vibrant reality for you.
Well, the thing that's caught a lot of people's attention is the proposal for this so-called Hyperloop, which is a high-speed, sort of like a pneumatic tube that would cross the state, a very, very high-speed situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's two elements that are worth noting in our proposal. Number one, what we are challenging Amazon and everyone actually to imagine is, remember, it's not just today, it's 10, 15, 20 years into the future. And go back 10 or 15 years, people didn't have almost every product imaginable delivered to their doorstep in 24 to 48 hours. They didn't have iPhones in their pockets with amazing computer power, but also the video, the cameras, et cetera. There weren't drones. There weren't autonomous vehicles. These are all developments that are real that happened in the last 10 or 15 years. What we're saying is there are existing technologies and emerging technologies for transportation and communication that we believe will continue to revolutionize how we live, work, and play. And we are, and that is what we are basically saying to Amazon, is that we say, look at autonomous vehicles, look at Hyperloop as one of those, look at communication technologies. We believe the idea of developing an innovation corridor makes sense. Now, within that, Hyperloop is, without a doubt, we're excited about. We were excited that the CEO of Hyperloop One, Rob Lloyd, was willing to actively support the proposal. We're incredibly excited that in the last 24 hours, Hyperloop One has said, you know, publicly, they believe Missouri's moving to the top of the list and the top three, probably, of sites anywhere. And we're also incredibly excited that in the last 24 hours, again, completely independent of what we were doing, Richard Branson has come out again and said he's incredibly excited about Hyperloop One. And in the last 2 weeks, he's taken active stake in, as an investor and a member of the board of Hyperloop One, because he believes that it's a viable, visionary technology that's going to transform how we transport people and goods around the world.
My understanding is that the Hyperloop One was not really interested in a connection between St. Louis and Kansas City.
That isn't the way I would characterize it. They have publicly said that the I-70 corridor between St. Louis and Kansas City is actually one of the best routes that they've ever seen. And one of the challenges that we encountered, our proposal was a finalist in the Hyperloop competition, and the thing that was holding us back was that we haven't completed a feasibility study yet. And, you know, Colorado is doing that, Texas is doing that, and we're moving forward on that with private sector, a public-private partnership, but no taxpayer money will be used in a feasibility study. This is a private sector-driven corporation, and the feasibility study will be using private funds. But we expect that to be moving forward very rapidly. And Hyperloop One, again, in the last 24 hours, has publicly stressed that they see Missouri moving right into the top pack.
What role would Hyperloop play in Amazon's operation? Certainly not to deliver books or goods, and you're not going to have people commuting from St. Louis to Kansas City.
Well, actually, but that's where I challenge you, which is, first of all, Hyperloop has potential regardless of Amazon. We think it's an incredibly important, innovative opportunity. But from an Amazon standpoint, there's a few things. One is actually, no, why couldn't you have people commuting from Columbia to Kansas City or St. Louis?
Because it would cost a fortune.
Not necessarily.
Well, from what I read, it would cost as much as a plane flight.
Well, you have a better crystal ball than I do. What I think that looking forward into the future, when you look 10, 15, 20 years, there's the possibility of person moving around the state rapidly, but also, and this is equally important, of goods and services moving as transportation. This is the first leg, probably, of a broader transportation network. Missouri is at the hub of rail, air, water, and highways in the country with our central location, and developing something like Hyperloop would be part of that intermodal network, would be a test bed for it, but we also think would be something that would be economically, potentially, you know, in terms of transporting goods as well, in emerging technology, if you take the long-term view. And again, that's where we stress, this is one of the technologies, but here's the question, which is, do you think that there can be a model of a distributed workforce with multiple campuses across an innovation corridor that could work? We think so. There are some places that already have distributed models of workers, of course, that already exist. And so we're saying we think technologies will continue to develop, and we're willing to take a bold view of that. And we think that Amazon's the kind of company that has a proven track record of being able to take bold perspectives as well and make bets that other people may not see at the time, but have been very successful for them.
Who would be paying for this? I understand that the cost would probably run into the billions of dollars.
So by this, you mean
the Hyperloop?
Right now, this is a privately held company that's working to develop this new technology. It's pursuing it on its own. It's already secured a substantial amount of capital to help develop the projects around the world. As I mentioned, example, Richard Branson in the last 2 weeks has become one of those significant investors. The state of Missouri has not provided or offered public funds to the Hyperloop project. So I just want to make sure that's clear. The next phase in its potential development is to conduct a feasibility study, and that will be privately funded. So just want to emphasize for the Hyperloop, this is, you know, this is a privately held company developing a new transportation technology.
Part of the St. Louis proposal included portions of the Metro East area. Does the overall Missouri plan, your plan, include the other side of the river from St. Louis?
It could absolutely. Our expectation is that it includes both metropolitan areas. So there is a bid from St. Louis and a bid from Kansas City. Both of those bids, and we supported them equally and enthusiastically, both of those bids cross state lines. So we are absolutely enthusiastic about the entire metro region for both Kansas City and St. Louis. And so the full expectation is that the flow of people and resources and opportunities would not be limited to one side of a river or another. They would be for these metropolitan areas. And we believe that there's the opportunity here of linking together this innovation corridor that would have potential for benefit from a course across the entire region, not just confined to the borders of Missouri.
Is this Hyperloop idea something that would be considered even if Amazon does not accept Missouri's bid?
Absolutely. This has been moving forward already independently before the Amazon proposal was announced. There's a public-private partnership that has been announced independent of the Amazon bid that includes the St. Louis Regional Chamber. It involves the University of Missouri system. It involves the Kansas City Tech Council and MoDOT. That has been moving forward separately from the Amazon proposal because we think this is an exciting potential opportunity that we are going to explore with the private sector led effort of Hyperloop One, where they've said they look at the world and they look at the I-70 corridor and they feel that this is potentially one of the best routes anywhere for them to pioneer this technology.
So is it fair to say that Hyperloop is part of Missouri's long-term economic strategy?
What I would say is that it is one technology. We're not betting on any single thing. No one would do that. It is an emerging technology. It's exciting. But it is still in a certain phase where no one, I think, could say that you're betting it as a major element of a strategy. But it is one of the technologies, kind of a, if you imagine, a portfolio that we believe is part of the future, potentially, of the state.
What sort of financial incentives is Missouri prepared to offer to Amazon? Other bidders are certainly offering them.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I will offer this answer, which is shaped by three factors. One is we're professional. We don't negotiate in public. This is a public competition. And I think by common sense and common practice, I think your listeners would understand why you don't negotiate in public when it's a competitive situation. There's also, want to note, not just that, we have a non-disclosure agreement in place with Amazon, but also fundamentally, and have to emphasize this, under Missouri state law and practice, we do not discuss active business negotiations. And right now, by submitting those proposals to Amazon, this is an active business negotiation. We are hopeful that they come back enthusiastically and want to continue to negotiate with us, but we are under those policies and laws that regulate it. We just don't talk about it. And I should say, this is the same thing if you were a five-person opportunity, a 500 new worker opportunity, or 5,000 new opportunity. This is just the way business attraction and development is done in Missouri.
So we can say there will be financial incentives, but we can't say what exactly they're going to be.
At this stage, we can't say what they would be.
Okay.
Publicly, but we have offered, as part of our proposal, because it was part of the RFP's requirements from Amazon, there was a section where they asked about incentives. There are incentive elements, and I want to stress this, which is the state has provided absolutely identical incentive support to Kansas City and St. Louis. So there is no difference, and those were developed at the same time with both teams collaboratively, literally either in the room together or on the phone together, to make sure that the state provided absolutely identical support to both of our cities so that we're enthusiastic, we want to make them as competitive as possible, and we've done it impartially between St. Louis and Kansas City.
One final question. This is, by all accounts, is a very bold move that Missouri is making. Is there any kind of historic precedent for anything like this that you're aware of?
Yeah, I think let me offer just one that may seem distant and one that is actually close at home. So one that's distant, and if you go and look at Olympic history, and I know that sounds strange, but Olympic history, you know, cities that have bid for Olympic Games, oftentimes that doesn't work out well. But if you look at some of the cities that have done a very good job, taken an aggressive approach, look at the city of Barcelona going back decades. They use something like a very bold approach to an Olympic Games to put themselves on the world map, and it literally did change the dynamics and economic development and future of that city and put it on the map as a global city. I think closer to home, an analogy here is, you know, just going back a few years, remember that when Boeing was looking at the production of the 77X, the state of Missouri mobilized and was very aggressive to try and get the 77X. We were not successful. They ended up keeping it in Washington State. But we were so impressive at how we were creative, innovative, and aggressive that Boeing eventually decided, hey, this is the kind of place where we want to operate. They already were on the defense side, of course, an incredibly vibrant part of our economy. But they decided, hey, we will bring the wing assembly to St. Louis and add, you know, hundreds of jobs to St. Louis. So I use that as an example of big, bold, very vibrant approaches that signal to people we're different, we're innovative, we're open for business, and we want to work with you to create good-paying jobs in Missouri. That attracts people, and we have that example of just in the recent past of many examples, but I just used for one. Pertinent to St. Louis, the Boeing example.
All right. Well, Drew Erdman, I'm going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us and kind of adding some meat to the bone that was announced yesterday by the state of Missouri. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Drew Erdman, Missouri's Chief Operating Officer. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.